Political and social satirist Mort Saul has taken his act to Broadway. It's a bid for a comeback by the comedian who, in his heyday, was considered an intellectual Lenny Bruce. Our critic at large, Laurie Stone, has these thoughts on Mort Saul in the 80s.
People I know who saw Mort Saul in the 50s, when he played the hungry eye in the Village Gate, say he had sharp teeth and honed politics. He went after McCarthy, saying the forbidden thing, whatever it needed to be. In the mid-60s, when I saw him live, he was already a crank. His upper lip was rising too quickly into a sneer, and he was grinning at his own cleverness before anyone else had a chance to. But he still gnashed at Nixon, Roy Cohn, and the Bay of Pigs goons. And in the late 60s and early 70s, when he cried cover-up about the Warren Report on John Kennedy's assassination, he warmed up our consciousnesses for the coming conspiracies of Watergate and the Iran-Contra game. In his Broadway concert, which runs for an intermissionless hour and 45 minutes, he tells us that, for the past 17 years, he's been living in L.A. and raking in the dough. He writes screenplays on contract that don't get produced. Ha ha! That laugh of his, how to describe it? A foghorn that wants you to hit the rocks. He says he has three topics: women, movies, and politics. He starts with women. Quote, I was watching Geraldo, and four women came on who didn't want to get married. Ha ha! By the looks of them, they were in no danger of that happening. Unquote. This, listeners, is what comes from the mouth of a man who, even when he was young, had a jaw and chin that could politely be described as piranha, and who now, at 60, his midsection far wider than his shoulders, looks like a pear in a V-neck sweater. He does score a few hits when he targets Hollywood. David Beagleman, a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, complains that his children are conservative Republicans, and Saul asks him, quote, do you think all the recreational drugs you did in the 60s created mutants? Unquote. However, most of Saul's jokes only pinpoint when he lost touch with the times. He knows that the Pentagon and the CIA make foreign policy, but he's not unhappy about it. He admits to voting for Nixon. He brags about forming a friendship with Alexander Haig. He spends the last half hour of his show explaining how, maverick that he is, he resisted the pressure of the Hollywood liberal establishment and went to a dinner at the White House. Famous names drop from his mouth like gold coins. Newman, Fonda, Redford, Redgrave. You can hear them tinkling under his feet, then more names cascade forth. Malcolm Forbes, Weinberger, Schultz, Bush, and Nancy, dear, party-loving, 15-pound Nancy. Saul can't believe these eminences are talking to him, but more important, are eating with him, kibitzing with him, sharing with him. Yitzhak Shamir, the honored guest, implores him to tell his audience not to arm the Saudis. Saul gets Reagan off the dance floor to break up a mushrooming tiff between Weinberger and Shamir. Ooh, what fun to mingle in the bullpen. Saul doesn't go to the White House to make trouble, but to hang out. And you know how it is when you eat someone's food and drink their wine and then dance to their Marine Corps band. You can't turn around and bite them without looking like a schnurrer. Mort is not a schnurrer. He's another awkward and directionless guy whose head has been turned by commanding jawlines. He can't bite anything now but his own tail. The worst has happened to someone in his line who's abandoned the work but still wants to collect the check. He's become irrelevant.
Laurie Stone is a New York-based writer and critic and is a contributor to The Village Voice.